Morning.
Good morning.
Morning. Welcome. Welcome to week three of our coaching program. Last week we talked about we completed determining our absolute minimum and our target minimum.
Right.
Yep.
Now we talked about creating a five-star model, and the homework was to go back and assign roles and responsibilities with those five stars. So how did you do it? Who is going to be doing what?
Okay. Well, actually, Kenny's not on the call yet. He just called me. He's just going to be about 5 minutes delayed because he had to run out and get cash for some of the workers that are doing work at his house. But assign the roles for each category. VP of planning is Kenny. VP of implementation is Chris, myself. VP of brand is also Kenny, at least temporarily. Marketing would be Ed. And leadership, we're giving to Kenny, too.
No. Leadership, I have leadership, Chris.
You do?
Kenny, yeah. Kenny is temporary on brand management, and I'm temporary on leadership.
Okay.
Rob, This was like an hour-long conversation with the team, figuring this stuff out. Some of it was easy, like Kenny, with his background as an analyst and just the role that he plays in the team, he seemed a natural fit to planning. I'm pretty much a marketing type person, so I slid right into marketing and sales. Christopher does a lot of allocation, Morningstar analysis and stuff like that, so he moved into implementation. The issue was the brand management and the leadership. The brand management, Kenny's taking it on a temporary basis. But, you know, watching the video, et cetera, reading and just knowing, that role really requires a very organized, detail-oriented type of a person. You know, perhaps what you would call, you know, in the world of personality characteristics would be what we code as a blue. And really, none of us are going to be stars in that role. So, Kenny, he's way down the scale from curiosity to excitement. He's, you know, down that scale pretty quickly. But I think we're in the midst of having discussions about maybe investing and getting someone in that role. And I wouldn't be even playing with that idea had I not already know of someone who could fit the role beautifully. So that's where we are. So we have the five allocated or chosen VPs. Two of them, though, are now that's what we can do. The brand management, I really would like to get someone in there who's CSA. You know, I just don't.
Ed, you're breaking up for me.
Yeah, Ed, you're breaking up really bad.
Sorry. We have connections down here. Anyway, the VP of brand management is something where Kenny is taking it over as a temporary basis, but it may not be the ultimate solution. Another person we may have to acquire another person to take that role.
Okay. And your CSA is Kristen, right?
Yes.
That's correct.
Okay. And sometimes I like it when we can have an FA as in charge of brand management, but it can be a CSA. That's who's going to be doing most of the work. So you don't have to worry many cases as long as you have a very good CSA. They can pretty much take on roles and responsibilities under.
Yeah.
The point is that Kenny could keep it forever and not have to be a particular attention to detail guy as long as he knows what Kristen's doing and she's doing it well. Okay, so.
Yeah, Kristen does a lot, has a lot of work. She works with other advisors, so that's that's the issue. She works very hard. She's busy as can be. And this is a big position. It's a really big position, you know. And I think the VP in these positions are people that, you know, you think about this stuff when you're, you know, you're going to sleep at night. And, Kristen will be thinking about, did she get the wires out for, you know, this advisor?
We're concerned with her ability to complete the role. Not just the role of like a VP, but just the actual, you know, the scheduling and, you know, all of the work that's involved because she's not dedicated exclusively to us. That's why we're thinking about someone else.
Yeah, I think it's a smart thing. If I, you know, as your consultant, my primary role is to improve your efficiency, productivity, leverage your skills, and having that person become even more critical than ever with Supernova. I mean, it's critical all the time, but when you lay Supernova on top of it, it becomes apparent how critical that role is. So, yeah.
Yes, and I've lived with you know different types of people in that role, and I'll tell you, you're only as good as the people around you.
No question. You know, and I used to say to my manager when I was I produced for 7 years, and I'd say, I don't care where you move me in the office. Do anything you want with me. You know, I don't care about my view. What I care about is the person I'm sitting next to. Do not change my CA, in my case, you know, under any circumstances because I've trained them.
Right.
You know, I want to be right.
I agree with you 100%.
Right. I want to be right next to her, and she, you know, and I know myself. I mean, I am not. I am good at what I do, the creativity, you know, but I absolutely, you can tell from Supernova, you know, the way I've helped create Supernova is it's the whole thing is dependent on that person being that person, that being that personality, that attention to detail person, you know, and so for you can probably guess that there's a, you know, my son was diagnosed with being ADD, and we went to the doctor to figure out what was going on, and I said, where did he get this? And my wife and my son and the doctor all looked around at me and said, where do you think?
Yeah. Okay. Exactly. Yep.
So I get, absolutely. You know, and so I've always been blessed to have Marianne, my assistant, as a manager, you know, I started with her in Indianapolis, and 28 years later, we were still together. So, you know, she was critical to me.
Absolutely.
All right. So, okay, well, good. Sometimes these meetings generate more than simply the names and titles. Was there anything else that came out of the meeting that you'd like to share that was surprising, eye-opening, or interesting?
I'm on the call now, Kenny, by the way.
Yeah.
Can you guys
Welcome,
hear me?
Ken. Yes.
I don't know about eye-opening, but I think it just sort of feeds off of the discussion that sounds like you guys were just having, that we have, like, a plan of action or roles and responsibilities for now, and they might change once we figure out this, you know, staffing situation.
Yeah.
Did you guys fully cover that?
Yes, we did.
Yeah.
Okay. So, like, I have planning and brand management right now, but I don't necessarily want brand management. I think of the three of us, I'm probably best suited to wear the hat right now. But I think that's just making do with what we've got to work with right now. I think someone else that would be definitely better suited to do it than I would. And my dad has leadership, and I would want to take that over once I relinquish brand management. But that's for down the road, I suppose.
Good. All right. Well, good. All right. So here's what I would like to work on today. Now we've got that established. There's, I'd like you to start to think about explaining those roles and responsibilities in a way that focuses on benefits, not completely on features. So people buy benefits, they don't buy features. So when we describe, let's say, for example, one of the things that I'm going to encourage you to do is to introduce your team via this model. So, for example, this is the second step in a five-step process for developing new centers of influence. So the first step is to meet with a potential center of influence. That would be a CPA, attorney, a business broker, a commercial realtor, et cetera.
Uh-huh.
And then bring them back to your office and have a member of the team stand up and introduce themselves based on the role.
Yeah, I think Ed just came back on.
I did. Sorry. We're having difficulties here. So, sorry about that.
No problem. As I say, the second step in this five-step process for impressing the hell out of a center of influence is having them come in and meet your team, but introduce your team based on this five-step, five-star model.
That's a great idea.
Yeah. And everybody talks about the five-star model, but then they say, well, how do we use it? You know, when does it apply? How do we put it to work? Well, it really shines when you introduce yourselves based on this model. Now, here's what I find, though, that it takes a little bit of work to actually get that scripted role and responsibility down. So you don't want to wing this.
Uh-huh.
So here's what I suggest. The person that is, you know, Kenny, I think it'd be good. This would be a good job for you as, you know, as temporary leader of the team while Ed is away. Just write out for each member of the team their role and responsibility. It's not hard.
Okay.
But it takes a little bit of work. It'll take us a couple of weeks to do this. We don't have to, you know, this is one parallel path we're going down. But this is one of the jobs that needs to get done. And if you don't do it, then what happens is everybody wings it, and then you're not presenting yourself as well as you can. So
right.
So here's what it would look like. Think about it. Each of the five stars. Benefits to the client, and now we're speaking to a center of influence as if he's a client, because he's going to be presenting us to his clients. So what we're doing is we're teaching him how to present us, right? Because he's going to do, see what I mean? And that we don't do that. No, we don't do that. You know, we hope the center of influence somehow, you know,
likes through, us.
Yeah, likes us through osmosis, figures out what we do and how we do it. Well, that's ridiculous. You've got to train them. So what you do, people say, well, why do you bring them in? And I said, to train them. So this is a training session for the center of influence. Now, you're not going to call it that. You're going to call it an introduction to our team. But the idea is to train them so that they can better introduce us to the right people that are a good fit for us. And fit is a great word to use for them and for your team. Meaning we want to be introduced to people that have got the capability of meeting our minimums and are, quote, a good fit. We like them, we trust them, they listen to us, and so forth. So by explaining ourselves, we impress them. All right? So whenever you meet, so the first meeting, when you meet with a center of influence, first thing you do is affiliate with them. The second thing you do is differentiate yourself. So the affiliation is, what do we have in common? You know, do we know the same people? Do we live in the same neighborhood? Or do we have kids? Do they go to the same schools? Did we went, go to the same university or high school or whatever? Just something so we have something in common, and the guy, we like them and they like us. So don't bother going to step two if you don't like the person or you don't think it would be a good fit. Uh-huh. But when you meet them and that you like them, you feel like this guy is a good guy, he's very much like me, I think he's interested in growing and is willing to put in some work and is willing to meet monthly, I think he'd be a good fit. Let's introduce him to our team. So that's how we differentiate ourselves. And this will be so completely different than anybody else does. Nobody bothers to go to step two. Everybody just tries to make a relationship work on based on step one, which is stupid. Now, you get a big prospect, you can do the exact same thing. Affiliate with them, differentiate. Affiliate, differentiate. Bring them back, introduce them to your team, and then... Okay, so that's step two. Step three is you go and meet with their team at their office. Okay? So step three is meet at their office and give them a chance to explain to you why they're different and why they're great at what they do. And so, therefore, you can then have an idea as to why this particular CPA would be a better fit for a client than another one. Is very important and very helpful. So let's go back now to step two, which is how do you introduce your team? Each person stands up and introduces themselves as the vice president of planning, for example. And this is what we do. So you give them some features, and then you give them the benefit. All right? So this is what we do. This is why we're qualified. We know we have our CFP. What we do is we meet with each client. We go through and do a complete profile of the client. Then we create a plan for them based on their goals, their risk tolerance, and their time frame. All right? And this is what a typical plan looks like. Now, what's the benefit of this planning process? The benefit of the planning process is we really understand the client, who the client is. We get a deep understanding of them. Clients in all of our surveys have said we want to be heard. We want our advisor to know who we are as an individual. This definitely makes them comfortable that we know them in depth. we listen to them, we've heard them, and we make the appropriate plan based on that. All right?
Okay.
So what does that mean to them? They have peace of mind. All right? They
yep.
feel very comfortable. They're relaxed. Now, and now the Vice President of Implementation stands up. Why do we have this role? This is why. Because we're committed to fully implementing the plan. Most people are planners, not implementers. All right? And so
uh-huh.
they'll cherry pick the plan. That's the reality. Right? They'll do the easy things. We are committed to fully implementing the plan. We do that through our supernova process, through 12 scheduled appointments, 4 reviews, 2 of them in person. So on an ongoing basis, every client, based on the financial plan, gets an agenda. And so everything that we need to do from the financial plan goes on the agenda. We complete the things one at a time. We have roles and responsibilities of who's doing what and by when.
Uh-huh.
Some of those belong to the client. Some of those belong to us. So the client, before every meeting, will get an agenda with roles and responsibilities.
Uh-huh. Now, Rob, let me just ask a quick question to you. The way you're describing the implementation process, it almost seems like it's part of the branding with regard to the scheduling of, you know, of the meetings and, you know, making sure the whole process is done, you know, the way it's supposed to get done, you know, as opposed to just the investment process per se of, you know, the
right.
investments and, you know, and
maybe
financial planning.
Right. Maybe I'm leaking a little bit, but I think it's very important that the client understands that the 1242 is not just a contact system.
Mm-hmm.
That it has to do with the implementation. So maybe
okay.
you have to go through the whole 1242, and that can be
right.
left to the brand manager. But the point is that in our work, in our studies, we found one of the biggest challenges was implementing the plan.
Uh-huh.
Nobody gets around to finishing it. And so this was one of the ways. When we surveyed our clients, we asked them what they wanted, and they said, we want you to anticipate our needs, and we want you to have attention to detail. And I would put that right in your presentation.
Okay.
Okay. Anticipate your needs and attention to detail. We do that through the planning process.
Mm-hmm.
So even though you're 40, we're anticipating that you're going to be 50 and 60 and 70, and what needs to be done before you're 60 and what needs to be done before you're 70. So we're going to do at age 50 what you have to have done by age 60 and so forth.
Okay. Okay.
All right. So that's the anticipation and implementation of the planning process. Of course, investments are in there. And I would do it that simply. I would say, of course, investments are in there. We have a very in-depth investment process, but I wouldn't spend a lot of time on it.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Everybody spends all their time on that. I would bullet point it with benefits. What's the benefit of our process? It consistently gives very, very consistently good returns. Not the highest returns because we're managing risk.
Uh-huh.
Okay. So our goal is to eliminate as much risk as possible and still give you the kind of returns that you need.
Okay. Just so you know, Ed popped off the call again. He's having major technical problems. He keeps texting me.
No problem. I mean, I think as long as you get.
Yeah, Ken and I are fine.
Yeah.
Okay, so then you go to Vice President of Brand Management, and you simply explain, this is the person that manages the 12-14 process, But most important is our commitment to attention to detail and to a superior client experience. And that incorporates a number of different things. We limit our practice to less than 100 clients. And the reason is because we need to give each client a financial plan, full implementation of that planning process, 12 scheduled appointments, 4 reviews, 2 of them in person, and rapid response to their problems. And what's that sound like? What that is 1-hour response, 24-hour resolution. At that point, I would turn to the client and say, how does that sound?
Uh-huh.
And get some feedback. Okay. And it's always good anywhere during the process where you think you've made a big point to turn to them and say, how does that sound? How does that compare to what you've seen other advisors doing?
Okay. Now, our presentation or our description of what we're about now to a center of influence and to a client will be different yet the same. We're gonna have to tailor different speeches, let's say, for each type of a meeting.
But it is in this particular meeting, it sounds very similar, doesn't it? I mean, there's virtually no difference. I mean, you're presenting who you are and what you do and why you're different. And the client and the prospect and the client should have the same reaction. I mean, the center of influence and the client should have the same reaction.
Uh-huh.
You go, wow, how can you do that? Can you give 1-hour response, 24-hour resolutions to any and all problems? Very simply. When you call, we answer the phone, all right?
Uh-huh.
So that's response. That's 1-hour response. That's telling you, you know, we got the problem. Resolution, most 90% of problems are resolved in 24 hours.
Uh-huh.
All right? And if we can't do it, we'll tell you. This is a 2-week issue. This is a month issue. You know, and then we'll keep you appraised. And then, amazingly, like most other advisors don't do, we'll tell you when the problem's solved.
Mm-hmm.
What's our purpose? Our purpose is to reduce the anxiety of our clients, bring peace of mind, help them relax. We worry so you don't have to.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's really, that's the benefit to them.
Okay. Any other questions?
Just describing each role, there seemed to be sort of benefits to client roles, and then there was the latter two, marketing and sales and leadership, were sort of internal roles. Are we communicating those to centers of influence or clients, or are we focused on the first three in terms of communication?
No, I would definitely keep going, and the vice president of marketing would stand up and say, okay, this is how we market ourselves. This is our ideal client. This is who we're interested in. This is how we market ourselves. Okay, this is how you get known and trusted in the community.
Hmm.
And then you go on and explain, and I'll show you. You want to involve all your commitments to the community in terms of charitable giving and the commitment to organizations in the community, as well as your marketing. And part of your marketing is working through centers of influence. You can say, we have 3 centers of influence, whatever you have. All right, you explain. We have a CPA, we have an attorney, we have a commercial realtor, we have a residential realtor, and each one of us only has 6 centers of influence. And they'll say, am I the only CPA? And we'll say, no, of course not. That's why it's very important that we know how you specialize, what you're interested in terms of clients, what your minimums are, so that we can properly identify introductions for you. And that's
okay.
The next meeting. And then the vice president of leadership, you just go and explain roles and responsibility of the leader. All right? It's to set the vision, to communicate that vision, regularly scheduled meetings of the team, personal and professional development of each member of the team. And holding each member of the team accountable for their role and responsibility on the team.
Uh-huh.
So each of the vice presidents put together a business plan based on their area, and then it's rolled up together into an overall plan for the team. And the vice president leadership monitors the progress of that plan and holds the team accountable through the meetings that we have. One on Monday, which is the giving board meeting, and the second is the scoreboard. And this is where we monitor and organize ourselves around those two meetings each week.
Okay.
Every day we have a stand-up meeting at 11 o'clock, and at that meeting we go through urgent matters for that day and for the next day.
Are you giving examples, or are you telling us what we should be doing? Like we should be having these two meetings a week with the scoreboard?
Right. Yeah, and you just tell them what you do, and they'll be like, wow, how do you do that? And, you know, they're going to be very interested in this.
No, I'm sorry. I'm a little confused there. I didn't understand if you were listing that as an example, like when you're communicating to a center of influence, that's how we do it, or do
yeah.
we?
Yeah.
Or should we be doing that now?
Should we be having two meetings a week where we're doing these scoreboard meetings? Because we're not doing that so far.
I understand, but yes, but you will be.
Mm-hmm.
So you're not doing Supernova either, but you're explaining what you do.
right. Okay.
Right.
All right, so these are things you're going to be doing in the future that keep you organized like Supernova keeps you organized.
Right. Okay.
Okay.
All right. And that's the role of the leader to make sure those things happen.
Okay.
Okay.
I think Kenny had some questions, or I don't know if he wanted to formulate them in an email because you haven't thought them through yet, about you know, where we are with regard to, you know, what we need to be doing. We want to make sure that we're on top of, you know, our progress during this training process, you know.
Yeah, I mean, I'm happy to get there and get to questions, but I just want to make sure, I figured we would do that near the end of the call. I just want to make sure we get through everything that, you know,
right,
Rob's
right.
agenda for this, and then I'll have questions.
Okay, so, yeah, everything is being done kind of simultaneously. You have, think of it as railroad tracks going down the path, right? And in one path, you have segmentation. In the center path, you have organization. And on the right-hand path, you have acquisition, all right? So we want to have our trains going down the three paths all the time. Oh, under
okay.
segmentation.
I just want to make sure: are we accomplishing everything right now on for this call that you wanted to get done? Because I feel like we could start having another discussion about like the path and the big picture, and then some of the more granular items about questions that I have.
Yeah, no problem. The idea, look. In three meetings, there's so much, you know, you want the whole book, right, in three meetings. You can't. You got to do it piece by piece. So don't worry. There's plenty of time to get everything done.
I'll just give you, like, an example. So, like, we have these conversations from our meetings, and you give us very clear, essentially, homework assignments. So, like, last week it was, break up the clients by advisor because you guys should really know who's going to have who. and what the numbers are for each person, and then really dig deep and define who's going to be having what vice president role and have that meeting. So we did that very quickly. But then we also get the emails from Lori, and then we watch the videos, and there's homework assignments in those, but there seems to be a disconnect. Like there was a lot more homework assignments from the emails and from the videos talking about communicating it to the top 20% of clients and establishing two niches per advisor and identifying, a couple of centers of influence. There seem to be more like boots on the ground action items. And I just want to make sure that we're not falling behind. I don't know if you're customizing our homework assignments on the calls based on what we should be doing and maybe don't worry so much about the other things that are coming across in the emails and the videos, or if we're falling behind. I just don't want to be behind the eight ball in terms of executing or anything like that. So I just wanted just to make sure.
You guys have done a good job of segmentation. So you're not in a position where you're having to get rid of a lot of clients and have traumatic meetings with clients where you're reassigning. So we're spending virtually no time on reassigning clients. So I'm assuming that you're doing that and you're going to, get rid of any small clients that don't fit. Right.
Gotcha. So that should be done within a week or so, is what you're saying, since there's not that much to do.
Right. If you had 400 clients, then we would not be spending the time on the five-star model. Okay.
Right.
Okay.
But should we be executing on? So we segmented planning-wise. We got the numbers lined up, but we haven't made one phone call about the transition.
Yeah.
Okay, so you should. Yes, you should.
Okay.
Okay.
So that's what I mean by these three paths. I may not mention it, that this is something that you need to be doing, but if it's on the homework, then you should be doing it.
Okay.
Okay, so the homework in terms of what is being emailed to us by Lori?
Yes.
Okay.
It is correct. It may not – you may not – be able to do it all, but it's there to keep you on track. So exactly, Kenny, what you said. I hope we're not falling behind. You're
right.
Not falling behind because we spend 4 weeks on segmentation. You guys aren't going to need 4 weeks. So I've moved you ahead in terms of organization, all right? So the five-star model. And spending the time on the five-star model the way I am right now is moving you into centers of influence and working properly with centers of influence, how to introduce yourself. So I'm giving you very detailed process, which you can't even get that on the video, all right? So I'm giving
you
stuff you can't get. You can get most of the surface stuff about identifying centers of influence, identifying niches, and beginning that process. Yes, you should be doing that. We may not even talk about it until down the road a little bit. I wanted to talk about niches today, but I felt this was more important. All right.
Absolutely. Do you think we should be communicating to the top 20% of our clients the new Supernova process? Are we there? Do we read the section of the workbook?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Go ahead and begin that. And,
okay.
A lot of the scripting that is needed for that we covered today.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
See what I mean? We're simultaneously, when I give you the script for how to introduce yourself based on the Supernova model, that's the same script that you're going to be using when you talk to your clients.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
All right. So here's what you say. You call a client and you say, hi, Chris, this is Rob Knapp. Nice to talk to you. Today I've got some exciting news. We hired a consultant to look at our practice based on the fact that, frankly, we were getting too busy. And because we're so committed to the service process, giving excellent service, we felt a bit overwhelmed. and we're falling a little bit behind. So we hired a consultant. And what he told us was that we had too many clients. And, you know, that happens. Success is wonderful. But it can have a problem, double-edged sword. And so what we've done is we've implemented a service model that we think is going to be fun. And this is what we're committed to doing for you and for every client. And then you go through multi-generational planning, full implementation of the planning process through 12 scheduled appointments, 4 reviews, 2 of them in person, and rapid response to your problems, 1-hour response, 24-hour resolution. How does that sound? And they say, wow, that sounds great. Am I one of your clients? And you say, yes, you are. I'd be pleased to tell you that you are. And our next step is this. We need to determine what a mutually beneficial time for us to schedule our 12 appointments. So before those will be reviews, and 2 of them will be in person. So you'll have a 1-hour slot. That 1-hour slot will be yours throughout the year. So I have right available Tuesday afternoon, Tuesday morning, Wednesday morning, and so whatever you decide is your. So you create your ideal day, all right? Before you set the schedule up, everybody needs to determine what is the ideal day. Now, when do I want to work out? When do I want to take breaks, etc.
Okay.
Right. And so everybody determines when they're going to be in surgery. And when you're in surgery, that's what you schedule your 1-hour slots. Don't make them half an hour, 1-hour slots.
Mm-hmm.
And then you begin to schedule people. And you begin to build up, make the folders. So you should be ordering folders now.
Okay.
And then get the schedule. You'll be getting a scheduling meeting on how to use the scheduler from Cindy, and that will help you to organize your time.
Is the scheduler, is that that's additional software?
Yeah, it's
is
really
that
an Excel
software, or is it a process?
It's an Excel spreadsheet on steroids.
Okay.
That works in conjunction with Outlook.
How do we get a hold of that, or is that, you know, between this week and next week?
Yeah, Cindy will email that to you, or Lori.
Okay.
They will, and then they'll spend some time with you in a separate call, helping you.
Okay.
How to do that?
Okay, we're gonna order the folders. I got them all sort of primed up. Now that package to the web.
Yeah.
That's we get our 1 folder for each client, and then they have like a mini folder comes as well.
Right.
So we get 2 folders for each client, 1 for us, 1 for them.
That's right. That's correct.
Okay.
Okay.
Okay. So there's a lot, you know, there's a lot for us to cover, and, you know, that's why we do the video. That's why we do the workbook. That's why Lori reminds you. So, you know, because I get carried away too, you know, I get into,
mm-hmm.
into a, you know, something that I'm real excited about, and then, you know, you're right. We don't want to miss the whole thing because it all comes together eventually here.
Right.
It looks like we're, you know, that's why I say there's 3 paths we're going down: segmentation, organization, and acquisition. And clearly,
right.
I'm teaching. I can't be teaching 3 things at once. I can only cover 1 at a time.
Right.
So, I mean,
but we're touching on the second one, even though we technically we're not there yet.
Right, exactly. We're already in organization because
yep.
we're talking about it, ordering the folders, getting the scheduler going, but we're not in week 4, 5 yet, or so on. So.
Right, because no, I've got the same thing. I'm like, I am super excited about this process because I think it's going to be phenomenal for us. I just want to make sure that like. We are doing everything exactly as we're supposed to do. So, like, a big picture, it's like, is it all, like, the planning and organization before the execution? Because I'm fine spending as much time as we need to, before actually, being prepped to release this to our clients, to once we actually, because that's like another phase. It's like we can talk about all these things, but it's all behind closed doors until we actually start having conversations with our clients, having the conversations with the clients we are onto the investment center or another advisor before we're speaking to the top 20% of our clients about introducing the process. So I had a little bit of vagueness about at what point is it, okay, you guys are ready to communicate this portion of the process to your clients, go do that. Or you guys are ready to communicate passing on the clients, go do that. I don't know if that's too hand-holding, but I guess that's just where I wanted a little less vagueness in terms of like, okay, this week you guys should talk to 20% to communicate that.
And you should.
But I think that's when the impact happens.
Yeah, this is the week to do that. You should be doing that now, and you might want to practice. My suggestion is you do some practicing with each other.
Right.
Just role play it a few. Anything you do that you role play is going to be better than not. So practicing, practice, and then go ahead and try it on your favorite clients that are easy, and then go from there.
Okay.
Okay.
All right.
Yeah, no, I wanted to have a meeting where we basically figure out between the three of us what we're going to say when we communicate to the top 20% of our clients, and we'll all have our say, get on the same page, and then I guess start firing away.
Yep.
Yeah. Exactly. And it's all the clients you're going to be keeping is who you're going to talk to. So you want to start with the ones that you're most comfortable with.
Okay.
After we
have that conversation, doesn't it sort of segue into, is that beginning the supernova process? Would it be logical for them to be like, okay, when are we scheduling our first call? Do we schedule our first call when we introduce it? Or is it just that it's going to be happening shortly?
No, I would go ahead and schedule. That's why you want to kind of lay out your ideal day, week, and month, so you know when you're going to be scheduling. You don't want two of you to be booking, the same. I mean, you can book the same time because you're not overlapping with each other, meaning.
Right.
But so you should know for coverage purposes, both daily, weekly, monthly, et cetera, who's going to be there and who's not. When are vacations?
Mm-hmm.
Who's off? Who's went? So you literally need to schedule your year.
Okay.
Right. Okay, but this is the reveal to clients. We are committing to them in this phone call what Supernova is, that, and we're going to be doing it, and we're starting next month. In 1 month, but we're going to start our first.
Right, and
of the 12 calls.
The reason, Kenny, we do it this way, is because we found that we used to do the whole program and then launch all at once. It was too overwhelming for the guy. It was too much.
Okay.
And so we also, by doing it this way, by next week, you're going to have some feedback for me.
Right.
You're going to say, hey, this went great. Two clients liked it, but one guy didn't want to schedule something. What do I do? And so I can work with you on that. I can tell you what to say. And the idea is simple. I mean, and it's in the book, and then I can talk to you about it. But basically, when you talk to clients and they push back, you simply tell them, look, try it, is really what you're saying. I want you to try it.
Mm.
You didn't know what it was like when you moved up to first class in an airplane the first time you did it. You had no idea. After you sat in the big seat, got the linen, the crystal, and the nice meal, you said, boy, I don't want to go back to coach. And that's what we want to do here, because what we're giving you is a first-class experience. We've taken out all the seats, replaced it with nothing but first-class seats, and we're going to be delivering an exceptional experience. If after a year you're dissatisfied, you'd rather go back to coach, we'll try and figure out something for you. And they'll laugh and go, no, I don't think I like coach.
Okay, good. No, this is good because, yeah, I don't know. I was wondering if it was going to be like a we prep for 3 months and then hit the ground running, or if it's like learn and then execute, plan and then execute. And I'm happy to do it whatever way you guys say works best.
Yeah, it works best this way because then everybody's engaged. Everybody's, you know, into it. It's like learning how to play tennis. You don't talk about tennis for 3 months and then go and hit the ball. You know, hey, you're out hitting tennis balls. The first time I was in flight training, the guy took, you know, first time I was in the seat, he said, okay, take it off. I said, really? He goes, yeah, how do you think you're going to learn this unless you do it? And so I took it off. He said, okay, now time to land it, you know, and I landed. It scared the hell out of me. But you got to do it, you know, and there's nothing like doing it to, you know, when I taught soccer was learn it, you know, do it, teach it. So I would, you know, I would take the little kids and I would show them how to do it. Then they'd do it. Then I'd show them again. Then they'd do it. Then I'd show them again. Then they'd do it. Pretty soon they got it.
Do you recommend, so we're going to call and communicate and then try and schedule our first meeting. That first meeting that we schedule, do you recommend that they all be in person so we can sort of come with our folder, give them their folder, and
I mean, anything you can do in person always works best. Mm. But I don't want to overwhelm you with a million in-person meetings. Ones are convenient and you can do them and you feel comfortable and all that, go ahead. Now, when you're scheduling, and let's say you've got a people in Florida, right? And you're going to have to see them. You book them together.
Yeah.
Okay. So, say for example, you're going to come to Florida and see me, and you're going to go to Fort Myers, and you're going to go Naples, right? So, we're all within, you know, an hour and a half of each other. So, you'd book me at, say, 9:00 in the morning. We'd spend an hour together, and then you're off to Fort Myers. You'd book them at noon. Right? And then you'd book your other one at 3 or 4.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Now, so what does that look like for the rest of the year? Every month, it's 9, 12, and 4. For those particular clients. Now, normally I'd say book all your meetings in the morning. But when you have to travel, then that's the way you do it.
Yeah.
So you make
six
people in Florida, so you book them for Monday and Tuesday, 9, 12, and 4. You see what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
That way you're always thinking, what is the in-person meeting time going to look like?
Yeah. Yeah, that's good. And maybe we could try and arrange, like, the Florida clients together from the get-go. In terms of, like, they're picking their slot for the year, maybe we can try and get them. Generally, we handle them over, like, a week or 2 weeks. So when it gets time to in person every 6 months, it's around the same time. So we're not, you know, completely blowing up the Supernova process to have these in-person meetings, which are obviously going to have to be a little more flexible when we're down there. But they're all kind of centered around the same time.
Exactly. Not in a week, in 2 days or 3 days.
Right.
You block.
Right. Okay.
Block them together. And they don't have any, you know, they get the choice of, you know, but you've got to drive between them. So you basically tell them when you're going to meet with them.
Right. Okay.
Because if you're going to go to Florida and do this, the least they can do is, you know, arrange their schedule around you.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
All right.
Yeah.
All right, so that's a lot of the details, and we'll get into that, but it's kind of like it all comes at once because, you know, it's real hard to do any of this without knowing everything. So watch the videos because I cover all this in the videos. If you need to, go ahead in the video. And also it's in the workbook, so read the workbook. So it's all there, and I never have enough time to cover it all. Even, you know, today we went over, but the beginning's the hardest part because you're trying to get everything into your head to be able to do this. but I think you get it. And that's why I have Lori do the homework, put it on there, because sometimes I get off track and get excited about something, and then they'll teach you everything you need to know, because I don't.
Yeah, no. I just wanted to make sure that, you know, I'm sure there's a degree of this that you are customizing to us. And so, you know, I didn't know if you were customizing things and so we should follow you, and the other stuff was, you know, just more standard.
Problem is,
like what we should be, you know.
But you're right. If we get, if you follow just what I'm telling you to do, we're going to get behind. So we have to kind of have these three paths going all the time.
Okay.
Okay.
All right. All right. Thanks, guys.
All right, Rob. Thanks for your time.
You're welcome. Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Bye.